بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. ونبي جعفر عبد الله بن جعفر رضي الله عنهما قال: أردفني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم خلفه وأسر إلي حديثا لا أحدث به أحدا من الناس، وكان أحب ما استتر به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لحاجته هدف أو حائش نخل، يعني حائط نخل. رواه مسلم هكذا مختصرا. First part of the hadith, the narrator of which is of the Ahl Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abdullah bin Ja'far radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the son of Ja'far Tayyar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The first part we dealt with already. He said that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam shared the camel with me one day. In other words, made me sit behind him. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while sharing the camel, he confided with me a secret, something, and he said that I will carry the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with me. I will not share it with any person. In other words, for the rest of his life. The first part of the hadith we dealt with. Thereafter he says, وَكَانَ أَحَبَّ مَسْتَتَرَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِحَاجَتِهِ هَدَفْ وَحَائِشُ نَخْلٍ، يعني حَائِثَ نَخْلٍ. In a desert climate, in the open air, obviously there is the need or the time when one will need to make what is called istinja, or relieving oneself. That time there wasn't this toilets and so on, and the modern facilities that we have. So he mentions the noble practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in this one very important sabak and lesson, that of haya and modesty. The riwayat of Tirmidhi Sharif, arba'un min sunanil anbiya, that four things were from the sunnah of all the anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. And of the four things, the first of the four things we find in the riwayat that is mentioned is al-haya, shame and modesty. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the one hand, this was a sunnah of all the anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being the most perfect, being the height, being akmalul anbiya, then obviously this quality that was shared by all the anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam will be resplendent in the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to a very, very great height and length. And this is why sahaba, they describe the haya of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They say, more than a virgin girl, the shame and modesty that she would have to a greater extent was the modesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, it's mentioned, inna mimma adraka min kalamin nubuwatil ula. Another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that this was of the kalam and the teachings of every Nabi of Allah, from Adam alayhi salam. In other words, before our Shariat of Islam also, this was there, that إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفَعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ, that if you lose your haya, if you lose your shame and modesty, فَفَعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ, then do whatever you want. In other words, the distinction between insan and hayawan, between having human conduct and morality and losing everything, is haya, shame, modesty. So this is something particularly in the culture which we are living in now. There is an attack from every direction. In the name of TV, in the name of internet, in the name of all these modern gadgets that are there at our disposal. Maulana Ismail Saab, Daum Barakatu, one of our Kabirin in the Ishtima now that just passed, you mentioned, where did the attack of shaitan start? What was the first manifestation of the attack of shaitan on humanity? Adam alayhi salam made a mistake. in Jannat. What did Shaitan drive him towards? What was the eventual outcome? The eventual outcome was they were stripped of the clothing of Jannat. In other words, they were made naked. So this will always be one of the weapons of Shaitan to drive humanity to lose their haya, shame and modesty. Drive us towards nakedness, towards immorality. Al-haya la ya'ti illa bi khayr. Haya, shame, modesty brings nothing but goodness. Nothing but goodness. In fact, there's one incident mentioned which is actually indirectly pertinent to the subject matter of this hadith, where kana ahabba mastatara bihi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam needed to relieve himself, when he needed to make istinja, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would look for a high wall, or he would look for a date orchard, and he would use that wall, or he would use that date palm or orchard to conceal himself when he made istinja. This was part of the haya and the modesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today we see in our schools, in our gymnasiums, places of exercise, etc., there is this, what we call, facilities for bathing, etc., where there is no parda, there is no screen. Men are bathing together, naked. It's mentioned about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, that before Allah Ta'ala guided him and inspired him to become one of such a personality, obviously there's time constraints, I'm not going to go into details, but that those heights of Iman and those heights of Dini achievement he reached, then Muhaddiseen and the Muarrikheen, historians, only about two personalities, they make the statement that لَوْلَا هُوَ لَمَا عُبِدَ اللَّهِ. If it were not for them, Allah's deen would have been wiped off the surface of the earth. One personality they mention this is about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, particularly the manner he reacted to the fitna that arose at the time of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why in the books of history we have this expression, لَوْلَا أَبُو بَكَرْ لَمَا عُبِدَ اللَّهِ. If it were not for Abu Bakr, Allah's deen would have been wiped off the surface of the earth. Allah used him like that. It's also mentioned at the time of the fitna that arose of Khalqi Qur'an, that there was this batil or deviated sect that began purporting this creed or this ideology that na'uzu billah, the Qur'an is a makhluk and not Allah's sifat and Allah's kalam. What would have happened if this was allowed to come into vogue? What would have happened? It's a technical discussion. Ulama will understand it better. But the very real and grave outcome of this belief, if it was allowed to gain track, would have been that it would have opened the door to the adulteration and the changing and interpolation of the Quran. So the giant who stood at that time in the defense of this aqidah and belief that the Quran is Allah's sifat, Quran is Allah's kalam, Quran is not makhluk, was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. It's mentioned about him that before his life came on deen, one day he was with his friends and they entered into a public bathing place and they stripped themselves off, as was the culture at that time, behayai, immodesty. His life was not on deen, but he had heard one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fala yadkhul al hammam illa bi mi'zar." That person who believes in Allah and in akhirat will never enter a public bathing place except having concealed himself. Mi'zar is like a lungi, or in the context of the hadith, in other words, making parda, concealing oneself. So he remembered that hadith, and because of that he didn't join his friends. He mentions that night I saw a dream, and in that dream he said, I heard a voice, Inna Allaha qad ghafara laka bi isti'malika sunnah. That, O Ahmad, Allah has forgiven you. Allah has made your maghfirat, forgiven your sins, because you practiced upon the sunnah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bi isti'malika sunnah. Which sunnah? One simple hadith that he had heard. A hadith of haya, hadith of modesty. And then in that dream, he heard this voice saying to him, وَجَعَلَكَ إِمَامًا يُقْتَدَى بِهِ. Because of this, Allah has decided to make you an imam, and many millions will follow you. So in that dream, he's asking the person, who are you, that he's telling me this. So the person responded, that I am Jibreel alayhi salam. So we find that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fawaid, the benefits of protecting one's chastity, one's morality, one's modesty, like I said, particularly in this poisonous culture in which we are living, very, very important to try to imbibe this quality of modesty in our families, our little children. They are growing up today. Unfortunately, it's a culture of the mobile phone and culture of TV, culture of nakedness, of behayai. This has become a jihad for us to make this concerted effort, particularly in our homes, to introduce haya, shame, modesty. Obviously, we are not making istinja in some field. We've got modern toilets, etc. But in the home, in the upbringing of the children, to teach them that when you are using the toilet, making istinja, cover yourself as far as possible, don't leave the door open, etc. Protect your chastity from a small age, to bring them up with what we call the culture of Islam. Coming back to this hadith, Abdullah bin Ja'far, interestingly, this is an observation of who? It's an observation of a 7 to 10 year old child. At the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was 10 years of age. He came to Madinah Munawwara, as I mentioned previously, when he was 7 years of age. So his interaction, or whatever hadith he narrates, happened between this age period, 7 to 10. And what is he saying? Observation of a little child, which is why I mentioned, in our homes particularly, amongst our children, introduce the culture of Islam, the akhlaq of Islam. What is the culture and akhlaq of Islam? Haya, shame, modesty. He says, kana akhabba mastatara. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make istinja, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would relieve himself, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always ensure that there was some wall or some date palm or date orchard that could make satar and cover Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the first part of the hadith. The hadith is a lengthy hadith. We've run out of time. The second part of the hadith also deals with aspects that are dealt with in the chapter which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah introduced in the beginning. So it's mentioned, وَزَادَ فِيهِ الْبَرْقَانِ بِإِسْنَادِ مُسْلِمِ بَعْدَ قَوْلِ حَائِشُ نَخْلٍ. That one incident happened when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered one orchard. Inshallah, we'll continue.